Hendry.
Here we go. And welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go anywhere, everywhere, places even other talk shows dare not tread. This evening, among the many different things we're going to be doing, if you're a Backstage Pass member, you will have an opportunity to bid on a Phil Hendry Show picture disc, which I'm showing on Phil TV right now. And all you do is go to the comment section. Let's say the first comment section that we have there. I'll tell you what. Hold off the bidding. We'll start the bidding. What do you think, Margaret?
I think you should start the bidding after the first break, and you can put a special bid section.
Yeah, that's my idea.
Well, no, it wasn't your idea. It was your idea.
All right, so hold off on the bidding until the first break. We'll put up a special section where you can post your bid, and any other bids anywhere else are not going to be counted, so don't think that they will be. Now, the picture disc that I'm holding here is the Best of 2000. It is indeed a picture disc. It's also playable, meaning...
You put that on a record player?
Get up to the microphone, Robert.
I'm sorry, you put that on a record player?
Yes, you can put it on a record player.
And it's playable?
Yeah, you drop the needle on the old if you have a turntable. I don't know that anybody would want to do that.
Well, why would anybody want to get it then?
Because it's a collector's item, Jack. It's, you know...
What?
Look at it, man. Well, you guys haven't really seen vinyl in your lives, have you?
I know my brother-in-law collects it.
Yeah, a lot of people collect vinyl. Well, this is a picture disc vinyl. It has my face. It has Best of 2000, you know. So we'll start the bidding among our Backstage Pass members in the first break once we get our little bid section posted there. We're not, you know, there's no minimum bid, just whatever you think. You know.
Well, as you said, Phil, there's going to be people, you know, some of these idiots are going to bid 2 cents.
You know, whatever. They bid 2 cents. Dave in Florida, I already mentioned you once. I'm going to mention you one more time. Your coffee pot will be mailed. I mentioned before the show started that we actually auctioned off my old espresso pot.
Yeah, that was threw it away in a warehouse.
You're kidding.
No, they were supposed to mail it, the fulfillment people, and instead they thought it was some garbage that had been left over. Which, in point of fact, it was garbage, but it's actually supposed to be mailed, and all this got thrown away. So, Dave, that's on its way. The other thing that we're going to talk about tonight will be the jobless rate falling to 7.8%, but there's some controversy, so we will talk about that. Stephen Bozell is with us from Corona, California, about flu shots and the flu shot season. We want to get Stephen on the line here and talk a little bit about that with him. Steve is the father of two. He's a husband, and he joins us on our newsmaker line at the Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number. I guess, Steve, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hold on. One other program note. The Milwaukee Lions will be on Phil TV, the audio call on Monday. Game time is at 1 p.m. Pacific, so 3 p.m. Central for you fans in Milwaukee, and they're in Portland to play the Logs. What's so funny about that? Oh, okay.
I'm talking about a log. Yeah, I hope they squeeze out a win. Yeah, give me five on that. Yeah,
get out of here. Give me five.
My God.
All right. Steve, how you doing?
I'm good, Mr. Harry.
And, Stephen, you and I and many Americans avail themselves of the flu shot every year. Isn't that correct?
Well, I know that, you know, we do at our house, and I'm very much a big believer in flu shot, yeah.
And the flu shots are, and I was talking to Dan, in fact, Dan Northcraft, our technical director, before the show started. Dan's, he's gotten a little bit of a flu. And we were talking about the flu shot. I said, well, you know, I'm probably, good number of years older than Dan, and I get the flu shot every year now, but the reason why I do it is because I got really sick. I got laid up in the hospital, and I didn't want to go through that again. Man, I'll do anything not to go through that.
Mr. Henry, you said that you also get a pneumonia shot, and that's very important, too, although you don't... The good thing about a pneumonia shot, people don't... Maybe they don't know, or they do, is a pneumonia shot is only necessary to get once every few years.
Yeah, I found that out. I thought I had to get one every year.
No, it's only necessary. I think you get a pneumonia shot maybe once every 3 years or something, but and I don't know if everybody should get that or just, I don't mean to say old people, but I mean,
No, it's okay if you want to call me old. I mean, it's you know, I mean, what am I going to do, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
I don't feel old, and I don't think that I'm that old, but...
Well...
Yeah, okay, so, yeah, you're right. All of us old guys have got to get pneumonia shots up.
No, I think everybody that is... I don't mean old, but I think anyone who's up for grabs, you know...
Well, what does that mean, up for grabs?
Well, I mean, if your health is up... I guess what I'm saying is, if you're up for grabs, I'm trying to put it in a way...
If your health is compromised, is that what you're trying to say, Mr. Bozell?
I'm sorry?
If your health is compromised, or if your physical state is compromised?
If you're in a vulnerable position.
That's a way better way of saying it. I was trying to find the words that would be more relatable, I guess. But if you're in that place where you are, the word that lady used, I'm sorry.
Vulnerable.
You're going to be wanting to get a shot like that. But I got my flu shot. My wife April had her flu shot. Our two kids had it, and I've gotten it too. And I also want, if Roy Hutchins is listening tonight, I got my flu shot, and so I don't know what you're talking about. It's just a thing between him and me. That's been pretty funny, Miss Henry.
Wait, do you mind letting us in on it?
I just told him I got a flu shot. I believe, Mr. Henry, that, you know, life is a short thing, and we should do everything that we can to get the most out of it. And if we have things we need to overcome, then we need to overcome them. I'm not alone, I don't think, and I asked my wife April about this, and she said that she felt it would be a good thing for me to bring up on your show tonight. And I said, and I asked her to be honest about that, because a lot of times my wife, my kids might want to play a joke on me and have me think something's okay, and then I do it, and then they're laughing. And you know, I,
all right. Well, what did you want to talk? We're talking about the flu shots now, right?
Yes, sir.
Can I just add something here? I just want people to know I go get a flu shot because I had pneumonia, but I also every year since I was a kid I've had bronchitis. I've had all kinds of issues, man, with my. You know, my breathing, you know, my lungs and stuff. And this is a guy, I mean, I'm just telling you guys that I'm a guy that grew up in the San Gabriel Valley of the metro Los Angeles area. Now, if you know anything about that, you know that I grew up in an area where the smog just goes and sits and collects.
Yeah, it's similar to where we are in Corona.
The Inland Empire, the beginnings of the central of that basin there, a lot of smog, and then, and I'm not proud of it, but then I started smoking cigarettes when I was 14. Now put that all together, put together the fact that I was breathing this garbage my whole life, especially when I was a kid riding my bike up and down these hills. I mean, we grew up in the foothills, so I literally was riding my bike up these long stretches of hill to get home at night, and then so you're respirating a lot. I started smoking cigarettes, and then on top of everything else, I had a predisposition to bronchitis.
But maybe that was because of the smoking.
Well, no, I had it before I started smoking when I was a kid.
Oh.
Yeah, when I was a kid, man, I was out of school every Christmas, it seemed like, because I couldn't breathe. And here I am at this point in my life. A pneumonia shot's a pretty good idea. I think I'm lucky, man, that I haven't come down with lung cancer. You know, I'm lucky that pneumonia I had didn't kill me, because the respiratory part of my body's just been nailed. But in any event, Steve, I interrupted you. We're talking to Stephen Bozell, and we're talking about the flu shot. And
I wanted to make the point that I've got a flu shot. I know you say you get a flu shot every year, and I wanted to say to anybody, and particularly men, because I know most men have an issue with needles, and I know for a fact that I'm talking right now to men who are listening, and they're afraid of needles, and I want to tell them to, you know, man up a little bit and go out and get the flu shot.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about that when we get back.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Stephen Bozell with us here. That's an interesting point of view for Steve.
Yeah, because a lot of times, you know, when he calls up, he's dealing with some kind of fear he has.
Yes, he's the one who oftentimes has an issue with things that he might be afraid of.
Yeah, he does, and he's telling people to man up. I got to hear this. Our number, 877-876-7445. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com. Now, as soon as you see the bid box go up on the homepage of our website, you BSPs, begin your bidding on the picture disc that I am showing on Phil TV in HD. It's as simple as that. As soon as you see that box go up. All right, guys. I'll drop the handkerchief. Let the bidding begin. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I was talking to Dan Northcraft, my our tech. Dan got a tattoo, and he actually got a tattoo that covers up a bad tattoo that he got back in the service, probably.
Well, is that these? You know something? Can I say something?
Go ahead.
These men in our military, the service people, the Army, the Navy, and so forth, they go out, they get tattoos that are vile.
I don't know that he got a vile tattoo.
Well, then why is he covering it up?
He doesn't like it anymore.
You know, it's probably, and I saw, I don't want to say, you know, Frank was in the military. Frank had a woman's posterior on his arm. And I said, well, you're not going to marry me with that. There's no way I'm not going to walk down the aisle with you while you have that somewhere on your body.
So what did he do?
He went out and he had it changed into one of those Big Daddy Roth cartoons with the big eyes and the cigar.
Big Daddy Roth? The guy with the hot rods?
Yes. So the woman's butt turned into two large eyes and then a man's face with a cigar.
Where'd the cigar come out of?
Hey, watch it.
I don't need that now, you know.
All right. Okay, so anyway, Steve Bozell is hanging on the line. We have our picture disc is there on our homepage. I got a picture of the picture disc, just in case anybody wants to know what it looks like roughly. There's a sort of a part of a picture. It's not a part of a picture. It's a pretty good representation of the picture disc. Picture discs, of course, were at one time big collector's items, and they have, from time to time, people who collect them find them and either frame them, or they just have them in their collections. It's an interesting hobby, you know.
God, what about like collecting stamps and stuff?
Yeah, you know, it's like collecting stamps. It's like anything that people engage in that they enjoy. You know, some people collect. You know, there are a lot of people. Yeah, Margaret.
Well, I had a girlfriend who collected peanuts. Now, not peanuts as in actual peanuts. She collected. What are you looking at?
Well, just. That's weird.
Well, yes, but don't look at me like I'm the freak. I'm talking about my girlfriend.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
What's he doing?
He's looking me up and down like I'm some sort of a freak.
Well, it's what you're talking about is weird.
All right, bud, you know, just...
What am I doing?
Don't look me up and down like I'm in a zoo. In any event...
And then I have to get back to Mr. Bozell?
I'm sorry, Phil. Go ahead, we can talk about this later.
Are you sure?
Yes.
All right. Stephen Bozell with us as we talk about flu shots. Hi, Steve, sorry.
That's all right.
All right. So,
If I could just interrupt you for a minute, Mr. Henry, I came on your program, I'd like to be the main focus of the conversation, if that's okay.
Mr. Bozell, I'm sorry. This is Margaret Gray.
Yeah, I've heard you already, ma'am.
Well, all right, but I am apologizing for taking up the time.
That's fine, ma'am.
All right, Steve, I apologize. We were coming out of a break. We had another piece of business we had to do, and I let things get away from me, so that's my fault. All right, the flu shot. Now, you were saying that you're aware that a lot of guys are afraid of needles.
Yes, sir. You know, it's a very interesting fact of life in America that there are a lot of men who are scared of getting a needle, and... You know, like I said, I want to tell those men that you got children and you've got a wife and you have people who look up to you, and you have people who want to believe that, you know, they can rely on you when things are bad, and the fact that, you know, you can't take a needle shows you to be very weak, you know, and scared. And I think it's a bad way to go through life.
What do you recommend to those guys?
Well, let me first ask you, are you afraid of them, Mr. Henry?
Am I afraid of needles?
Yes, sir.
When I was a kid, yeah.
No, but I mean as a man, as an adult.
I lost my fear of the needle sometime in my childhood. I forget when. But when I was a little kid, when I was 7 or 8, I was scared to I was scared to death. Yeah, they used to had to grab me and hold me, you know.
Okay, that's when you were a little kid, though?
Yeah, when I was in school, yeah, I lost it. I don't know when, but by the time I was in high school, it was not an issue.
Okay, what I'm asking you is, and you're being honest.
Yes, sir, I'm being honest.
All right, do you know of any...
Oh, sure. I mean, I just told the story to Dan. I said that I had a girlfriend at one time who'd been married, and she told me that that she got married in Vegas because her husband-to-be didn't want to... At that time, you had to have a blood test in the state of California to get married. And her husband-to-be did not want to have the blood test because he was afraid of the needle.
So they went all the way to Las Vegas?
They went all the way to Las Vegas to get married, yeah.
Oh, man. To me, that's the guy that's... I don't know how a guy like that can even look at... You know, if he has a son, how do you look at your son in the face? You know?
Well, I don't know. You know, I chalk it up to...
Well, if I could just finish.
Go ahead.
So if you're afraid of needles like the man you just met... I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Henry, but I want to continue my thought. If you're afraid of needles... Like that man that you was told about, who was married to that girlfriend of yours, you know, how do you look your son in the face and say, you know, your dad's afraid of needles, but hey, other than that, you know, you can rely on me. You know, how do you do that?
Well, I don't understand.
Well, I'm saying, how do you look your children in the face and say you can rely on me if you're afraid of a needle? Because in other words.
I don't know that a phobia is going to be something that'll keep you from protecting your kids. Do you think?
Well, I mean, in my case, and that's what I wanted to bring up, I had a fear of needles, but I conquered it. And I conquered it just through sheer willpower. And
well, but when you were afraid of needles, was it something that would keep you from protecting your children?
Mr. Henry, you know, that's why I conquered my fear of needles, because I realized that if something was happening to my family and whoever was hurting them had needle or, you know, threatened me with some kind of a needle, I don't know what. Now, it sounds ridiculous, but I would be, I'd have to clear the area. I'd have to back off. And
you would be so put off by a needle.
Yeah, well, yes, sir. And I don't think you understand what a needle phobia is, because you yourself said you don't have one, but. You don't understand. You know, I'm sure there's something you're afraid of. You know?
Well, I have a fear of heights.
Okay, think about that.
I'm thinking about it. If one of my kids was stranded atop a high structure, I would have no choice but to go up and get them. I'm thinking about it right now, and I'm telling you right now, going up high scares me to death. I mean, I'm sweating right now thinking about it. I literally just broke out in a sweat. But if there was somebody I loved up high someplace, I'd hang on for dear life, man. I'd go up and get them.
Well,
what?
I don't know if you can be completely honest if you think about it, you know, because I had to conquer.
Well, yes, you conquered your fear of needles. Maybe you can tell me how you did that, because in many ways, that would be what I would be doing. If I'm afraid of heights... But I see somebody I love in jeopardy, and they're in a high place that I have to go and get them. I would have to somehow find within me the physiologic as well as the psychological, you know, strength to go and conquer that fear.
Well, what I did is through sheer willpower, and maybe that's what you're talking about.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's sheer willpower. It's just saying I'm not going to be afraid. And I went in. To get it was a tetanus booster. I had to get a tetanus shot because I'd cut my hand at work, and I hadn't had a tetanus shot since I was in my 20s. And I went in and I took my wife with me, And I was frightened, and I kept holding my breath, and I kept saying, I won't be afraid, I won't be afraid, I won't be afraid. And right when the nurse was going to put the needle in, I held my breath, and my wife was there, so I was able to hold, you know, she was holding me, and I was able to hold my breath and just...
Okay, hold on for a minute, Steve.
Yes, sir.
877-876-7445. This is talking about how he conquered his fear of needles. That a lot of people have, the fear of getting a shot. We'll be right back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Talking about holding his breath. He sounds like...
Hold on.
Phil Hendry.
Woo!
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com, and right now what's happening at philhendryshow.com is the auctioning of a Phil Hendry Show picture disc. This is a picture disc that we produced in 2000 for our Best of 2000 CD. It's autographed. There are fewer than 1,000 of them. I know that we sold a bunch back in the day, so however many we have, it doesn't come up to 1,000. They're numbered, so they're limited edition. And you know, when you limit, you got to do it right, you know.
What do you do?
When you have limited edition, you have to put the number there.
Yeah, right there. See, 0100.
Yeah, that means there's 100 of 1,000.
That means that this is number 100 of 1,000.
That one.
This one is, yeah.
And when you sell that one, what's the next one going to be?
I don't know. I guess the next one that's available, 101 or whatever, whichever ones are there, you know.
Will you sell them in order?
I don't know if we sell them in order. Yeah, probably we sold them in order. I guess you have to sell them in order, don't you?
I don't know anything about it, but I know that there are people that...
By the way, Margaret, you have been the subject of a great deal of comment, you being in the studio. And, of course, I knew that it would. I knew that people would immediately... Because people being people, they don't like anything that's new, you know.
Well, and what is that supposed to mean?
Black people don't like you being here.
Well, ask me if I care, you know. Ask me if I...
Well, they just, you know, they don't. But as I said, it is a normal course of things that people don't like anything new, so...
Even if it's good?
They don't know it's good. Most people don't recognize what's good until you got to beat them over the head with it. All right, in any event...
So what am I? Am I good or bad?
You're fine. I mean...
Am I good or bad? That's a very easy... Oh, boy.
You're great, Margaret. You're great. We love you. All right, Steve Bozell is on the line. Don't give me that look.
Well, you know, I...
You're great, Miss Gray.
You lie.
Don't call him a liar. All right, we'll be right back here. With Margaret and Bud, but right now I'm going to get Steve Bozell back on the line here. All right, Steve. So now we're talking about being afraid of shots, and a lot of guys are afraid of shots. There's no question about that.
But the thing I wanted to mention about being afraid of shots is the needle part. Most men, and a lot of men are, and I want to say to them that you got to be a man and act like a man, you know.
All right, be a man and act like a man. Now, you conquered your fear of needles. How?
I conquered my fear of needles when I was going, as I mentioned, getting a tetanus shot. And I went to the doctor's office, and I told my wife, April, I asked her if she'd go with me because I wanted a little bit of I needed a little bit of support, you know, just getting over that first situation there. And the nurse came in with the needle and smiled, and that's when I made a move for the door, and I shouldn't have because it probably didn't make me look very mature, you know, but I...
And when you say you made a move for the door, what'd you do?
I just turned and I tried to... I made a very quick move to the door. I wanted to leave, and my wife, you know, grabbed me by the shirt, and that's when I realized I was probably making a spectacle out of myself, so I went back in and... The second thing I think that people that are afraid of needles experience is the panic when they take the alcohol and they rub your arm.
Yeah, yeah, I can well imagine.
Yeah, so she's rubbing my arm with the alcohol, and that's when I decided that I was going to you know, I was going to sweat it out or tough it out. So I just told myself, I'm going to be okay, you know. And I kept on saying it, And I that's when I asked the nurse, I said, would you please tell me when you're about to put the needle in me?
And what's happening to you right now?
I'm just kind of reliving it a little bit, but I'm okay. I said, please tell me when you're about to put the needle in, and I will, then I'm going to hold my breath. And she said, okay. I had an issue with the nurse only because, you've often referred to it, Mr. Henry, the rolled eyes and the curled lip kind of thing. And
what was she? She was showing some disdain?
A little bit, yeah.
All right. I mean, that's. I guess I don't know if there's much you can do about that.
So she said, okay, I'm about to give you the shot, and that's when I just went, and I held my breath, and it hurt bad, but as I held my breath, and as I said, it's going to be okay, and I'm trying to remember it now, I'm trying to relive it so I can, you know, communicate it to your audience, and I finally was able to just, and it hurt bad, and I kept on saying, I'm okay, and then finally she stopped, and I said to her, why did you leave the needle in? Because it seems like the nurses leave it in because there's a sadistic...
No. If you're getting an intramuscular shot, if the shot is...
Just keep saying that.
No, I understand that, but there's a little bit of muscle spasm that happens. Your muscle is contracting. It isn't so much the needle that's doing anything, other than the fact that your muscle is tightening, and it causes some pain. But the nurse is not leaving the needle in longer. It's just the fact that there's a spasm there that occurs that feels as if the shot is taking forever, you know.
I asked the nurse, and I had let out with a, my wife said, to, you miserable, and I used a four-letter word. I asked her, why'd you do that? And that's when she brought the doctor in, and he asked me if I was okay. I said, yeah. He says, well, you got very angry with the nurse. I said, I called her a miserable. And I asked him, I said, why does she keep the needle in that long? And he said that she did not. He explained what you just did, Mr. Andrew, although I think it was a different explanation, and he was a doctor, so if you don't mind, I'll believe him and not what you said. And
no, that's fine. I'm not claiming to be a doctor.
All right. And so I said, all right, and we left. But as we were driving home, I asked my wife, I said, did you see how I did that? I kept saying that. And she was, I think she was amazed that I was able to conquer it with my will because she didn't say a lot. We just got home, and I went and made myself a bowl of cereal.
Did you take a nap?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, did you go nap?
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't think you acquitted yourself very well.
What's that supposed to mean?
Let me say something. Stephen, this is Margaret Gray, okay?
I'm talking to Mr. Henry right now.
Well, I'd like to say something. You sound very childish when you had your wife go with you and you held your breath, and I'm going to be okay. You called the nurse a name, and then you went home and had a bowl of cereal.
Yeah.
Those are all the things that an 8-year-old boy would do.
I agree.
Oh, you agree, huh? Yeah, okay. Have you ever had? Well, I guess you have.
Yeah, I've had plenty of shots. I've had lots and lots of shots, okay?
Okay, have you ever had a...
I've had all kinds of shots, Steve. I've had blood drawn. I've had shots in the ass. I've had shots in the arm. I've had shots in the leg. I had a shot in my ribs once.
Why'd you have a shot in your ribs?
I had a cortisone shot in my ribs because I had dislocated a rib. All right? I've had, everywhere, man. And I've never had to call the nurse a name, and I never needed to have my wife there, and I never needed to go home and have a bowl of cereal, and that's why I asked you if you took a nap.
You're saying what?
So I'm saying the following thing. It doesn't sound to me like you went through that in a very manly way.
Well, all right, ask any man, Mr. Henry, who has to have a shot, if he takes his way, they always will take their wife with them. Because
you're talking about guys that are afraid of needles, that have a phobia about needles?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what those guys do or how they deal with it. I guess they just kind of tough it out. But one thing that I don't think they do, and I could be wrong, but I don't think that they call the nurse a name or go home, have a bowl of cereal, have their wife with them.
Well, hold on. You don't know that, okay?
Well, I don't know that it isn't true. I don't know that it is true. I'm just saying that what you just described to me and what you just described to our audience did not sound very manly. It did not sound very adult. All right, and I have Margaret Gray is here.
I absolutely agree with that. To me, it sounds as if you had just you had so much fear and you had so much angst that you regressed to the level of a little boy and you decided to have mommy.
Okay, boy, that pisses me off.
You needed your mama.
Okay, lady.
I agree.
You agree, huh? No, I didn't need my mama.
Well, it sounded to me like you did, like you needed mama.
No, I didn't need my mama. I needed to have a friend who would help me through the initial stages of having a shot without...
What did you do before you toughed it out, as you just said?
What do you mean, what did I do?
What did you do before you toughed out that shot that you had? What did you do?
I
did you cry?
I didn't deal with it very well.
Well, what happened? Describe to me what happened. Did you run?
I would try to get out of the room, yeah.
As an adult man?
Yes, sir.
And what would people do? Would they grab you?
They had to bring in two, orderlies, two male nurses.
To hold you down?
Yeah.
My God, and you think that you've made a big step there by going home and having your cereal?
Lady.
So, just hold on. So you had these two orderlies grab you, and then what?
Then I would, I'd probably scream, I don't know.
You screamed?
Yes, I screamed.
Got it. I wish I would have been there. That'd be funny as hell.
Okay, I came on your program, Mr. Henry, not to be, you know there's men out there that are afraid of needles? You're making fun. You're making fun of them right now.
I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. I'm just saying that what you did not sound like the manliest thing in the world. What it sounded like to me was, like any other guy that's afraid of a needle, you had your wife there and you held your breath. You'll conquer your fear of needles when you can stand there and say, well, here comes, and just stand there and not make an issue out of it, not have anybody there, not have anyone holding your hand, not running for the door, not wetting your pants, not anything, not going on a radio show and announcing to the whole world that you're able to tough out a shot.
I hope you're happy, Mr. Henry.
Oh, my God. That man is probably bawling like a baby right now.
No question. All right. Sorry, folks, but I thought we were going to talk to a guy that had so-called conquered his fear of needles, and what we were talking to right there didn't sound...
That wasn't a man. That was a mouse. Yeah, that was a mouse.
Okay, it was not a man. It was a mouse. All right, we're going to come right back here and take a look at what the bidding is on our picture disc on our website. And then take a look at this other story here about the unemployment numbers. They're down. The unemployment is down, but I guess somebody's got a problem with that. We'll find out what it is on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show. Stephen Bozell on the line. We got him back on the line here, Steve. You know, I didn't mean to make fun of you. I didn't mean to mock you. I apologize, and I apologize on behalf of my studio contributors here.
I'm sorry that I hung up, but I'm not afraid of needles anymore. I conquered my fear.
I know that, but I... Steve, you know...
Steve, can I say something?
That woman there... Okay.
Margaret, hold on.
What do you mean, Margaret, hold on?
I just, you're not making it easier at all, ma'am.
Well, I have an opinion on what you're going through, sir.
Yeah, but you're mocking me, and you're a female. Are you afraid of needles?
Sir, I've given birth to a child. I'm a woman. We can't be afraid of needles. First of all, women have a higher tolerance for pain than men.
Oh, yeah. What?
Well, that's true.
Mr. Henry, you're always taking the feminist side. What did you say, ma'am?
I said, and Phil just backed me up, women have a higher tolerance for pain than men.
Well, that's just... Mr. Henry, that is... There's one thing about women's rights. It's another thing to just step on a man and step on him.
That it's true. I mean, there is a physiologic reality. That's a reality that women can tolerate pain longer or somehow tolerate... more pain than men. It may have to do with childbirth. It may have to do with the fact that because they do go through childbirth and they do go through a great many discomforts being women.
What do you mean a great many discomforts?
Once a month, man, they're expelling blood and tissue from their bodies, okay, for starters.
Oh, God.
Are you all right?
Hold on for a minute. I'm sorry.
What's he doing?
Are you getting sick?
No, I just... I'm okay.
What happened, sir?
Did you get sick, Steve?
That's really no concern of yours, ma'am. And that's it. I'm talking to Mr. Henry. Yeah. Boy, I just need a glass. Can I get some lemonade? My wife's here. Give me some lemonade.
Well, what happened? Did you get sick there?
I got nauseous.
When I mentioned what women go through?
When you met... Oh, God.
You know, Mr. Bozell, I know what's going on with you here, okay? You got a... Not only did you not conquer your fear of needles, you have a very low tolerance for anything uncomfortable.
Not true, sir. Well, you came on here and said they expel tissue and blood from their bodies. That made me nauseous, okay?
All right, well, then you live with a woman. You got a wife, right?
Of course I do.
Well, that's what she goes through.
I know that. But...
Don't you? Well, maybe you don't. Don't you go to the store and buy her tampons?
No concern of yours, sir.
Sir, I'm not trying to be intrusive. I just thought it was something that guys would talk about.
Yeah, maybe we would. Well, I'm not going to talk about it with a guy because the first thing he's going to do is make fun of me. Honey, I want some of that lemonade. It'll make me feel... The sweetness will settle my stomach.
You know, Steve, I know you don't want me to say anything, but I'm going to say it anyway. Women go through an awful lot of pain and discomfort, and the fact that you can't take that, the fact that you're getting nauseous at the thought of that, makes me think that you really just don't have a great deal of stamina. And I think you should actually get a flu shot because you probably are compromised somehow physically.
I don't know anything. Everything you just said, I don't know anything.
Doesn't make any sense?
What's that?
It doesn't make any sense.
What the lady just said there, it doesn't make any sense at all. Oh, God. Hold on, I'm going to be sick.
Good God, man. I'm going to let you go, Steve.
No, hold on.
This is ridiculous. He says he's not afraid of needles. He's conquered his personal fear.
Just shut up, will you?
Who are you telling to shut up?
Would you shut up? Making me sick.
Margaret, just hold on, okay?
Who is he telling to shut up?
Please, ma'am, shut up.
Your voice is getting him sick.
Is that right? Well, maybe he should just hang up.
Please shut up.
Just be quiet for a minute, will you?
So anyway, Mr. Henry, what I was trying to say to you is I conquered my fear of needles just by butching up, you know.
Butching up? You just barfed up because you heard about a lady having her period.
Shut up, bud, will you?
Please tell it to shut up.
Hey, mister.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, you ought to hang up the phone, man, and probably go settle your stomach with a nice corned beef sandwich.
What'd you do that for?
Nothing, man. That's what helps me.
Yeah.
Oh, the hell it does.
Oh, God. God.
So the corned beef sandwich? All right, Steve, I'm going to let you go, okay?
Hey, Steve, it's Margaret.
Cut it out, will you? The guy's going to puke his intestines up.
I wouldn't get around.
You're trying to tell me you settle an upset stomach with a corned beef sandwich?
Yeah, especially if it's got a little bit extra grease on it.
Get that guy off the phone, will you?
Well, what'd you hang up on him for?
No, I put him on hold, for God's sake. He's sick. I gotta hear this again. You, when you get sick to your stomach...
Yeah, a lot of times I get nauseous, you know, if you have a flu. Yeah, they have a stomach flu or something like that?
Yeah.
Sure, I've had the stomach flu.
Well, I like something that'll settle my stomach, like maybe a chicken wing.
Chicken wing?
Yeah, or chicken wing or a corned beef sandwich probably will do it, or patty melt.
A patty melt. So you guys are trying to tell me that what helps soothe your stomach is the complete opposite of what any normal human being would need.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nobody that I know with an upset stomach is going to eat a patty melt, a chicken wing, or a corned beef sandwich and do anything but what that guy was doing right there.
Puking?
Yes, puking!
I don't know, it always soothes my stomach, you know, Robert?
Oh, yeah, very soothing.
Yeah, uh-huh, very soothing. These guys are... Let me ask you something about that corned beef sandwich. You like a little Russian dressing on it?
Oh, yeah. A little Russian dressing. With a... I love that one they got in New York, the Carnegie Deli one. A big mound of cheese on top of it.
Yeah, if you get the one with the Swiss cheese melt on top, it's very soothing.
You guys are high on some chemical that I've not even heard of. Okay.
Well, that's to each his own.
Yeah, that's what makes a horse race.
To each his own, that's what makes a horse race. I got news for you. You two guys, if that's what makes a horse race, you're the only two guys betting the horse you're betting, because I've never met anybody on earth that ever soothed their stomach with a corned beef sandwich covered with melted Swiss cheese and Russian dressing.
I know, just hits the spot.
Yeah.
All right, we're coming back here with the jobless rate falling to 7.8%, but everybody's upset about that, I guess. I guess that's not good news. We'll be right back, and the bidding is open on our pincher disc on our website. It's philhenryshow.com. If you're a Backstage Pass member, you can go to the section there. It's right there on the homepage. It says bid here for the picture disc. And I think it's right now at $100, man, and it's stalled there.
Yes, it is stalled, isn't it?